Today on Family Talk.
On Inauguration Day, so much of the news focused on the violence and anger of the protesters. But that wasn't the whole story. There was also excitement and hope for a new era. I'm Roger Marsh, and here now is Dr. Dobson to introduce the program.
Well, welcome, everyone. You're listening to Family Talk, and I'm your host, James Dobson, and I have a very, I think, exciting program to share with you today. It's going to involve an associate of mine that most of you know. He's Dr. Tim Clinton, who's the founder of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And a new assignment for him, and an exciting one, Dr. Clinton also serves on the president's, in fact, the president, Donald Trump, on his Faith Advisory Board Executive Council. Tim and I have been friends for at least 30 years, and he's joined us again today. Tim, how in the world are you?
Dr. Dobson, always great to be with you. Doing very well. Excited about some of the things that are happening, but spring's coming, and it's going to be a great, hopefully, a great year.
Are your eyes spinning with what's happening there, and especially what's happened to you?
You know, it's been an amazing ride, just the ups and downs, I think, of the entire election process, the challenges, but at the same time, the energy and excitement that's been stirring and is really culminating right now as we begin this administration. It's really pleasing to me, Dr. Dobson, to see the name of Jesus be lifted up, to see Christ be exalted for leaders such as yourself who have been laboring for many, many years, praying that God would do something special in our land. And this could be the dawn of that kind of a day.
Well, we're going to talk about the inauguration today and some of the things taking place in Washington. There are many people who are not happy about what is happening, and many who did not support this president. We have to understand that. So we're talking to people who will come from all different points of view today, and we're just going to tell you what we think. And if it makes somebody angry, and then maybe you will give us some space, because we're feeling our way like everybody else. Tim, you were in the nation's capital for the inauguration of our 45th president, Donald Trump, and Shirley and I were there too. And this was my sixth inaugural ceremony, going all the way back to Ronald Reagan's first term on January 20th, 1981. That was followed by his second inaugural 4 years later, which was, by the way, I think the coldest day of my life. I've never been that cold. They actually had to cancel the parade because the kids' lips were sticking to their horns. I mean, you just can't believe how cold it was. But then the inauguration of George Herbert Walker Bush occurred in 1990, and finally George W. Bush and his two inaugurations. And all of those occasions were exciting, not just because of who was elected, but because those were historic events in the nation. I love this country, and every 4 years or 8 years, there's that moment of transfer of power from one administration to the next. That's one of the things that makes America great. But this inauguration on January 20th, just 17 days ago, had its own special character to it. And I want to get your take on it, Tim, because there was an inspiring spiritual dimension to this one that I have not experienced before. Did you feel it too?
I did. I think the name of Jesus Christ was probably heard more during this inauguration, perhaps more than in memory. Dr. Dobson, I'll defer to you on that since you've attended six. This was my first one to be physically present at, but maybe even more than in history. What was exciting for me was to attend the service. The energy was unbelievable. Julie and I walked along with your family and others, down on the backside of the Capitol, made our way down around to the front side of it where the mall is, and the sea, the mass of people, it's hard to describe. We walked along the fence where people were just standing. They were pressed up body against body on the fence. Everybody just bubbling, bursting with, I mean, just all kinds of just excitement and energy, waiting for the moment. But what was exciting to us, Julie and I, as we were seated, was to hear from great men and women stand at the microphone up there like Samuel Rodriguez, a good friend of ours, who's with the National Hispanic Leadership Conference team, and have him just give a word of exhortation and prayer. To hear Franklin Graham move to the podium and challenge the people and claim who God is to our nation. Yeah. And how about when he reframed the whole issue with the rain, Dr. Dobson?
That was a special one for me. When, you know, we had heard that there was going to be rain all day. I think at one point there was a 90% chance of rain. And though it was cold and drizzly a little bit, not until Donald Trump stepped to the microphone did rain fall. And then when Franklin Graham came up to the microphone, he said, falling of rain is often associated with God's blessing. And isn't it interesting that that's the point at which we began to experience the rain? Did I express that correctly?
You did. And what a moment it was. Really, what a moment. The world saw that. The world heard that. I think we all felt that together. Cardinal Dolan, Rabbi Heyer, Paula White and her powerful prayer and more. I mean, just think about what took place. And we appreciate, and Dr. Dobson, I appreciate your opening comments about giving us some room here for a moment. I've watched you and Shirley and your family stand. You're so burdened about our faith in our everyday life, and that we want our children and our children's children to have that same America, those same freedoms here. And that's why you've been so strong and so committed. Well, and I salute you for it, Dr. Dobson. I really do.
Well, I've got a lot of company, Tim, and it comes from your side, too. I just appreciate those who have stood shoulder to shoulder with us through this period. You know, what people are most excited about, let's say people who agree with our point of view, are most excited about is the Supreme Court. I think more than anything else, that brought people to the election polls, and it would explain why Donald Trump got elected in the first place. We should mention that you and I are recording these words just a few days before President Trump announced his nomination to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia. And so everybody will know who he selected for that post, or at least who he nominated for. Still has to go through the confirmation hearings. But as I indicated, at this moment, we don't know who that selection is. But we have reason to believe that it will be a person who believes in the sanctity of human life. And, you know, when you go back 44 years to Roe v. Wade, I was on the scene at that time. I've been around a long time. I grieved over that decision. And in fact, I have opposed it for 44 years. And for the most part, people like me have lost every battle. They've been unsuccessful in the Senate, in the House, in the presidents that we have had. There have been pro-life presidents, but they haven't been willing to put their lives on the line and to take a stand. Some of them have. I don't want to overstate it. But this looks like a new day. It looks like a possibility that we may see a reconfiguration of the United States Supreme Court. And that excites me, and I'm sure it does for you as well.
Well, Doctor, I think the tide really is starting to turn. certainly in the early days of this administration, a lot is happening. And you're right, people are divided. But nevertheless, we've got to go back to that E.M. Bounds statement. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. And we, regardless of where we're at, we can pray. We can have an opinion with social media. We can share concerns and challenge people to think biblically, to push in directions where we can activate and mobilize and have our position heard. Why not? Yeah. Everyone else is.
Well, especially when 60 million babies have died. You just think of that throng of children who never got a chance at life. And if they had been allowed to live, there would be a whole generation or maybe two of them that would have come after them, which will never be known. And so there's reason for our optimism and excitement. And we just pray that President Trump will make the right choices because they are so critical. Now, Tim, you're close enough to observe the nomination of cabinet members, cabinet officers, up close and personal. Is anything you can tell us? What is your observation of the people that President Trump has selected to this point? They haven't all been confirmed, but they really are very interesting people. Tell us about it.
Yeah, what's interesting, at least from what I've been able to observe and certainly have heard others talk about, is how a great number of them really are conservative, most of them Christians in their values and more, in their stance.
Yeah, people like— Is that a hyperbole or is that for real, Tim? Are there really a preponderance of Christians among that body?
I'm told 9 out of the first 11 were Christians. Leaders such as Ben Carson being appointed to the housing and urban development position, Betsy DeVos, James Mattis, Nikki Haley, Jeff Sessions as attorney general, and more. When you think of those names, Dr. Dobson, that's a pretty strong start. That's a strong start. Mm-hmm. It's making I think, a very significant statement to people of faith that this president, this vice president, deeply care about the issues that are important to mm-hmm. us. And because of that, I think the people should what? I think the people rejoice in that.
And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk as he and Dr. Tim Clinton share memories of last month's inaugural festivities. Despite the media focus on the protests and the violence, it really was a time of hope and excitement. Let's get back to that conversation now here on Family Talk.
They've not all been confirmed. You know, all of us are flawed. Nobody is without limitations. We really need to pray for each one of those cabinet officers and pray for our president. He is also a flawed vessel. I wrote about that in my recent letter, that he's not a perfect man. But I got to tell you, neither am I. None of us is. And it's been pointed out to me by others. I'm just repeating what they've said, that God chose a number of men in the Old Testament for major responsibilities and for blessing, men who were themselves flawed. I think of David. David killed a man and took his wife, and then he was called a man after God's own heart. How could that be? David was not a perfect man, obviously. And I think of Cyrus in the Babylonian era when the children of Israel had been taken into captivity, and Nebuchadnezzar held them as slaves, and Darius after that. And Cyrus became the Persian king. And Cyrus was hardly a believer in God. He was not a perfect man, and he was the one God used to send the children of Israel out of captivity and back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. So we don't know what God is going to do with people who have obvious shortcomings and flaws. I don't know if that's the case with Donald Trump. I do know that it doesn't look like he could have gotten elected unless the Lord permitted it. He puts up the king and takes down the king.
That's what the word says.
So it does, and it says we should pray for people like that.
That's what Paul said. We need to pray for those who are in positions of authority over us. We all have that responsibility. We're not putting our stock or our faith in a president here for a moment. He's simply the leader of our country. Together, he and Vice President Pence. But our faith is in God. Our hope is in God. Our strength is in the body of Christ. We're simply what? Trying to mobilize and activate people to think and to respond and to stand for what truly matters. And maybe, just maybe, the church would awaken and have a strong voice. Yes, on all issues. And you know what's really interesting to me, Dr. Dobson, is this fact that 86% of evangelical Christians voted for this administration. That's a lot of people. Some 33, 34 million Christians showed up at the polls. That's a strong group of people. This isn't just one or two people out there crying in the wilderness. This is a collective group of people who want their voice heard now.
You know, Tim, the Catholic vote is really interesting, too. More than in the past, the Catholic vote for Trump was 5% greater than it was for Hillary Clinton. And that hasn't happened before. And we haven't seen that kind of majority from people of Catholic faith. There is, as you said, a huge number of Americans who selected this president. He is our president, and now we need to pray for him and support him. And for those of you in the listening audience who differ, who came from the other perspective, we respect you, we love you, and that's what makes democracy. I mean, we're not going to agree on all political decisions, but we do have to be united if it's at all possible to do that. Well, Tim, let's go back and talk about the inauguration. That's how we build this program, and we need to let people know what took place there. Shirley and I flew into Washington, D.C. on Wednesday night, and then, of course, the inauguration was Friday. So on Thursday, there was an opening event, at least opening for us, at a Baptist church a short distance from the Capitol. It was organized by Dr. Jim Garlow from Skyline Wesleyan Church, but there was a huge crowd there. It was jammed to the doors, and there was no speaking. No one spoke except briefly to introduce the next participant. And it was all prayer and music, and the Lord's presence was there. I was given the privilege of praying for that event. It was very short. No one prayed for more than 2 minutes, I think. But it was a very meaningful time. So that was Thursday noon, and we were off and running. Then on Thursday night, there was a concert, military concert, that was given at the Lincoln Memorial. And the throng gathered there was unbelievable. It was in front of Lincoln in the monument and going down the mall and all the way to the Washington Monument. If you know how far that is, that's a great distance. And there were crowds all the way from one monument to the other. And the music was so inspirational. People were crying. Some were praying. And then when the entire event was over, the last musical number played, I think it was by the Marine Band, was the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And as I understand it, it was the primary hymn of the Civil War. And of course, it ends, as you know, with the words, "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Our God is marching on." That was worth the trip to Washington, D.C., Tim.
Your story about that moment, Dr. Dobson, reminded me so much of how I felt when Julie and I came into the Capitol for the event on Thursday evening. And that was patriotic. My mind was going back to a moment where I walked my young son, Zach, through Arlington Cemetery. And we stood silently as two of our young soldiers were being buried that day. When we made our way to the tomb of the unknown soldier and stood in silence and watched that, and my son looked up at me and said, "Dad, what's this about?" And my mind also went back to my father, who was a World War II veteran who served on the USS Pennsylvania, who called me and said, "Tim, I'm getting on a bus and we're going to go to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Do you want to meet me?" I could not meet him that day. And he described for me, as he did many times over as a young boy, about what his experience was like over in the South Pacific and aboard that great ship, and how he kissed the ground when he got back to our great country after the war was over. My father, a pastor for nearly 60 years, this explains a little bit of the passion I have in my heart and why this was so significant, flew an American flag in our yard till the day he died. Literally, Dr. Dobson. Why? Because of the freedoms that we have in this country. And for those who have served and the families and those who are serving and more, some gave the ultimate sacrifice. It reminds me of one of my father's favorite verses, Dr. Dobson, Psalm 33:12. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord.
Well, I tell you, we saw a lot of evidence of it during the 3 days of the inauguration, and I was honored to be there. We're out of time, but there are other things that happened, especially the inauguration itself, that I want to discuss with you. And let's give one more day to this subject, and we'll pick it up right here next time. Thank you, Dr. Clinton, for being with us today.
Always a delight to be with you, Dr. Dobson.
You've been listening to Family Talk as Dr. James Dobson and co-host Dr. Tim Clinton shared their memories of the inauguration of Donald Trump, which took place last month. And as you heard at the end there, they have more stories to share, especially about the powerful prayer sessions for our new leaders. They will also discuss what this new administration may mean for the culture and for the family. So you don't want to miss that. Make plans now to join us for the next edition of Family Talk. And if you want to join the conversation about this broadcast, you can find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this historic moment in history. The inauguration has ushered in an era of hope for issues like the sanctity of life and religious liberty, but there's still plenty of work to do. Without your prayers and donations, we can't continue this fight for righteousness in the culture. Would you please prayerfully consider how you could support our efforts? You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can make a donation over the phone at 877-732-6825. And you can even reach us through the mail at 540 Elkton Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80907. Thanks so much for your prayers and your financial support. And please know, we appreciate your financial gifts regardless of the size. I'm Roger Marsh. Thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to come back again next time for the conclusion of this great conversation right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Who doesn't want to be encouraged to make their marriage stronger? Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Our new Family Talk smartphone mobile app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for both husbands and wives to find great resources. Now, the customized Family Talk app tailors content around where you are in life. Whether you're a husband, wife, dad, mom, the Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest into the lives of your children. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.
You know, many young people have only a vague notion of what they want to do with their lives and almost no information about how to get themselves ready for what's to come. They may understand the academic requirements, but they don't have a clue about what life will be like after they reach those objectives or the challenges that they can expect along the way. I found myself in that same situation when I was 20 years old and a junior in college. I knew I wanted to be a psychologist, but I had very little information about the profession itself or how to cope with graduate school. Then one day, my aunt attended a lecture given by a well-known psychologist named Dr. Clyde Naremore. This man offered to meet with promising students who were interested in the field of mental health. I called him, and he gave me 2 hours of his valuable time. The practical advice that he offered on that day guided me for the next 6 years of my life and may be responsible for my doing what I'm doing today. I'll always appreciate this generous man who took an afternoon out of his busy schedule at no charge or obligation to guide my halting steps toward my chosen profession. Should we not do the same for those who are coming along behind? Perhaps just an hour or two of our time could shape and guide a leader of tomorrow. As for me, I have a debt to pay, not to Dr. Naremore, but to those who stand today where I stood those many years ago.